Matt Polka here with ACA Connects, another edition of our From the Show Floor podcast here at the 14th Annual Independent Show in Chicago, Illinois. Having a great time, having the chance to interview a number of very fun people across our industry. Today's podcast, the one we're doing right now, is with a good friend of mine from up north, up in the true north, a fellow by the name of Jake Thompson, who is president and CEO of the Canadian Communications System Alliance. It's basically the association that represents smaller providers in Canada, and the job they do is basically a combination of both what we do at ACA Connects from a political and regulatory perspective, as well as what NCTC does from a business perspective. They do it all at CCSA. Great to talk to my good friend Jay, and here's our podcast from the show floor. Matt Polka here once again from the show floor of the Independent Show in Chicago here in 2019, and I'm here with my good friend Jay Thompson, who runs the CCSA, the Canadian Communication
Systems Alliance.
That's right. I almost said communications, almost doubled that again. The Canadian Communication Systems Alliance, which does double duty because you're basically the ACA Connects and the NCTC for Canada. So tell us a little bit about your association.
Well, we've been around for 25 years, like you, and we just celebrated our 25th anniversary last year. And we started off as a buying group for smaller independent cable television companies back in the mid-90s, and morphed into becoming an advocacy group as well, kind of into the mid-2000s. And so we negotiate programming contracts primarily on behalf of our 115 member companies. And we're an advocacy group, so we represent our members before the federal government in Canada, primarily, not typically before the provincial government. And our third pillar is that we bring our members together for networking opportunities and educational learning opportunities similar to you guys.
That sounds exactly right. Advocacy, buying and purchasing, networking, etc. So you said, I think, around 115 members.
15, yes.
Tell us a little bit about your members and how they're dispersed across your country, which is enormous.
Well, what they say about Canada is that we have too much geography and too few people. Our members are spread right across the country from coast to coast to coast, literally. We have a large selection of grouping of members in the larger population areas of the country. So in Ontario and Quebec, which are the heaviest populated provinces in the central part of the country, we've got the bulk of our members there. But we have them on the west coast, we have them on the east coast, and through an organization called Arctic Co-op, we have a number of our members that are located in the Arctic, in Nunavut, Northwest Territories, and the Yukon.
And you've been there. You've actually sent me pictures from, how did you pronounce it, Nunavut?
Nunavut, yes.
Yes.
I'm a fortunate Canadian, and then I've been able to visit every province and every territory of our country.
Wow. And isn't it fascinating? And this is where, again, Jay, there are so many similarities. And let me say, too, for our listeners, that I have the privilege to work with Jay and his team in so many ways, and we connect in so many fun, helpful ways for our members here in the States, as well as for you in Canada, just as you also work with the folks at NCTC. Isn't it great when you go to a place far north up in the Yukon Territories to see what a small company can do to really transform a community with broadband?
It's really heartwarming to see how our members, your members, can bring services to communities that might not otherwise have those critical communication services, and how important a place they play in their communities, both because they provide that communication service, but they also engage in their communities in many different ways. They're supporting local charities, they're involved with local council. You see them every day at the local coffee shop. And you can, as a customer, as a community member, you can interact with our members on a day-to-day basis, which is something you can't do with the larger companies.
No,
and it makes a big difference in the relationship that our members have with their customers.
Well, I've had the privilege of, for 2 years now, being one of your judges in your Tuned In Canada program, to be able to look at a number of the terrific programs that are taking place where your members are literally connecting and communicating so much like our members here in the States, and it really is heartwarming. So that's a terrific thing.
That's a wonderful initiative. We're going into our sixth year this year, and it gets bigger every year. We get more members participating. They send us videos of activities they're engaged in. We've introduced recently a new contest category of the best photo that captures your community service. Pictures of line folk out extending lines to the barn, to the far distant spots, and the towers, climbing towers in the middle of a snowstorm, those kind of things, and we get to celebrate those at our annual conference, which is coming up in September.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that in a minute, but let's come back to some of the issues first. You mentioned what you do at CCSA by way of negotiating programming, but also advocacy and broadband, and these are some of the same things that we do at ACA Connects. But let's first talk about programming, because I'm sure some of our members here in the States probably assume that the programming and how we negotiate here and with whom we negotiate is the same as in Canada. But there really are some differences, not only from a regulatory perspective in terms of what your members carry, but then with other programmers that you have to deal with. So give us a sense of what it's like in that part of the business.
The Canadian system is quite heavily regulated. It always has been. And the basis for that has always been to ensure that there's a spot for Canadian companies to deliver communication services, for Canadian creators to make Canadian programming and get those shows shown on Canadian television channels, and to have Canadian channels carried by Canadian cable television operators. And so the whole system has always been designed to make sure that, because we're next to the 100-pound gorilla of the United States, a great neighbor but a very large and influential country, of course, when it comes to content, that there's a place for Canada and for Canadians. And so we do have rules that are much different than those in the States, and they're primarily designed for cable companies, at least for broadcast distributors, to ensure that the Canadian consumers have the choice of Canadian channels, Canadian programs, within the wealth of other programs and channels as well. So there are a number of American and other foreign channels that are distributed in Canada alongside the Canadian channels. We negotiate contracts with our Canadian channel partners, program partners, as well as with our American programming partners. So a lot of the channels that are carried in the U.S. that are American-based are also carried in Canada, or a Canadian version of the same channel.
So let's talk about something that our members care a lot about and talk to us about here in the States often. And as you know from coming to our ACA Connect Summit, for coming to NCTC's WEC, for coming to the Independent Show that's produced by both of our organizations, our members love to talk about a broadcast carriage issue called retransmission consent, something that they pull their hair out when they talk about it because it's such a contentious issue. A little bit different in Canada. Why don't you tell us about what the rules are in Canada related to broadcast carriage?
Okay, so we have must-carry rules for our local over-the-air networks, Canadian networks. But beyond that, our rules for carriage have changed over the last few years and created a lot more flexibility for distributors. We are now able to offer services on a standalone basis. We're also able to offer services at smaller theme packages. So we're not bound by the desires of the programmers, as they typically are, to make sure that they're in large packages, that they're always getting carried and so on. But I think the biggest difference that we talk about often is the fact that we don't have retransmission consent in Canada.
Can our members come and live in Canada?
we would always welcome our friends from your membership. It has been a big difference and very important for our consumers and our members in Canada, that we don't have to bear those costs and to pass those same costs on to our consumers. Now, there's always been pressure coming from the United States into Canada from the broadcast industry in the United States to introduce that kind of regime in Canada. So far, we've been able, as an industry, and our government has pushed back and said that's not something that we want. We don't think it fits in Canada. We don't want to impose those kind of costs on our consumers. But we always have to fight that fight because that pressure continues.
No doubt, and we've even worked together, both of our associations, under what was then NAFTA, on a proposal that would allow retransmission consent for stations that were carried sort of across the border. And fortunately, it seems as if we've put that to bed, but it is an issue for sure.
Yeah, there was pressure in the negotiations for what is now the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, but it didn't appear in the final text of that agreement. There's a discussions going on in Europe, in the World Intellectual Property Organization, for a new treaty to deal with copyright issues, and that issue is on the table again, the retransmission issue driven by broadcasters in the United States.
So let's talk about broadband. I mean, one of the things that you hear when you come to our conference is how our members can deploy more, innovate, invest into very small rural markets, hard to reach, very remote. Sounds a lot like Canada, and I think your members have probably some of the same issues and concern, whether it's financing, availability of technology, economics. Tell us about what your members are trying to achieve from a broadband perspective and what kind of help that CCSA is trying to give to them, or at least work with your government to try to help support that effort.
As you say, it's very much the same in Canada with our members as we're trying to extend broadband services out to the rural customers, and the challenges that are posed by primarily the costs associated with doing that. We are fortunate that we are, and I think the same as here in the United States, that the government recognizes that it's an issue, wants to provide as much support as they can in the ways that are appropriate for the particular jurisdiction. In Canada, our federal government and our provinces have all recognized the need to help subsidize the extension of broadband out to rural Canadians, and so have put money into that. And our current government has just announced in its most recent budget that it's going to put $1.7 billion over the next 10 years into the extension of broadband services. And then each of the provinces have also announced in their respective budgets over the last few years that they want to put money into it as well. Then the challenge becomes, how do you allocate that money to appropriate recipients, and then what's done with it? But at least we have that opportunity to get access to that kind of support. We're about to go into a federal election in Canada in October, and we've put on the table our election asks for the various parties that are running, and proposed even more money is needed for helping broadband. And I think it's going to be a case where each of the three major political parties in Canada, well, we're hoping that they're going to try to outbid each other in this election campaign with their commitment to broadband. Right.
Well, it brings up the question of advocacy. You talked about putting together your election asks or positions that you want to see the parties adopt. Tell us a little bit about your association in terms of what it tries to do on an ongoing basis with its members to build strong connections with not only your members of parliament, but also your regulators at the CRTC, which stands for?
The Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission.
Which is similar to our FCC here in the U.S. So tell us a little bit about how you work to develop that strong relationship and to connect and communicate with your lawmakers.
Well, I have to say, we start by seeing how you do it.
Well, it goes both ways.
And you've kindly invited us down to the ACA Summit in Washington over the last few years, and we've had a chance to walk around with you and meet meet with politicians in the United States Congress and Senate, and see how the experts do the outreach to their decision makers. It's very much the same with us. We, like you, have an annual day where we go up to Parliament Hill in Ottawa and meet with as many members of Parliament and senators as we can, and to deliver our message. Meeting with departmental officials to present the message as well. The CRTC, members of the commission, there are a number of commissioners, and then of course there are staff people that we meet with on a regular basis. It's very good to see that our efforts are paying off,
yes.
too.
Yeah.
Because we found, and you joined us for our most recent, what we call our Advocacy Day in May this past year. And more than ever, we have seen a development of an appreciation amongst decision makers for the importance of broadband, rolling out broadband in rural communities, and the role that CCSA and our members play in achieving that goal.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a really good dialogue now with decision makers, because we're on the same page, we're trying to achieve the same objective.
Well, as someone who's had the privilege of joining you in Ottawa now twice, I am learning from you as experts as well. You do quite well and you're making a difference, and that's terrific. So a couple more questions for you here. First, I want to end with your upcoming annual meeting, but let's talk about the Independent Show here in Chicago. You've had the chance to listen to speakers, walk the floor, talk to members. What are some impressions? What are you learning? What are you seeing? What's piquing your interest?
It's hard to just pick one.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because there's so much going on here, and I had a chance to walk the trade floor yesterday. I used the opportunity to meet primarily with the programming services, mm-hmm. who have a presence in Canada,
right.
and renew those connections or build new ones, and talk to other programmers that might be thinking of coming up to Canada, and so starting to build those networks as well. I've enjoyed the presentations. A very interesting presentation from the former press secretary.
Oh, Ari Fleischer this morning, right?
Ari Fleischer this morning. A very entertaining and insightful presentation yesterday about the difference in our generations,
sure.
and how they approach work.
From Jason Dorsey.
Dorsey and millennials versus baby boomers like me.
Yeah.
And I took out my pen to take notes.
Hey, me too.
And then showed him the watch on my left hand, and that certainly distinguished me as a baby boomer and not a millennial.
Well, I agree, although when I raised my hand, I did point to the fact that it is an Apple Watch, so it's not Timex, okay? So you give us baby boomers a little bit of credit, right?
I hope so.
So you have a wonderful meeting coming up here later this year. Tell us all about it, and tell us what you, who some of your speakers are and what you hope to accomplish.
Well, we have our annual conference coming up in September, mm-hmm. in Kelowna, British Columbia. British Columbia is our most western province, and Kelowna is a city in the interior,
mm-hmm.
So close to the Rocky Mountains, on a lake, Lake Okanagan. It's a beautiful, beautiful area of Canada. It's known as Napa of the North because of the number of wineries that are located there and the quality of the wines that are produced. So September is supposed to be just the best time of year to be there, and we're giving people an opportunity to come join us.
Yes, indeed.
And listen to some panels that we've put together. We have a panel of leaders from our respective associations.
Right, right.
Your new chair.
Our new chair, Patty Boyers. Right.
Patty Boyers, joining us with our chair, mm-hmm. and our vice chair from our board. And then we'll have another panel made up of industry representatives, including from the United States, yep. from vendors, programmers, and operators. Talk about the role of video, actually, in our
sure,
industry going
sure.
forward versus the
how many
role of
changes,
broadband,
exactly.
relative
right.
importance of each.
Right.
And we have a speaker that's going to deal with a similar issue as the speaker yesterday on millennials in the workforce, dealing with new approaches to hiring and retaining employees, and an entertaining and dynamic speaker on marketing in this new generation.
That's
as well.
Awesome.
So I think it's going to be a great conference full of excellent content opportunities to network, a wine tour, a golf tournament.
I encourage
anyone who's listening to come
sure.
up to Kelowna in September.
Where can they
join
get more
us.
Information?
They can go to our website, which is www.ccsaonline.ca.
Okay. www.ccsaonline.ca.
That's
perfect.
Right.
Well, I can tell you, I've stolen one idea among many. I've had the chance to join you at your conferences before, and I've always loved how you bring speakers sometimes outside of the industry to provide different perspectives. And one who I listened to on a podcast, Terry O'Reilly, a marketer, an advertiser, someone who
and
really
a broadcaster,
and a
very
broadcaster exactly
broadcaster,
very
yes.
is tremendous. Last year
Pete Luckett
exactly in New Brunswick, and he was a terrific speaker, terrific story, hard work, coming to the to Canada with really nothing in his pocket and build up an enormous food chain and now a nationwide winery basically.
That's
so terrific
right.
speakers.
Yes.
So we are learning from the best up in the true north for sure. So
well, it's certainly mutual.
Well, Jay Thompson, thank you, my friend. It's great to be with you here today at the Independent Show, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Matt. Enjoyed the opportunity.
What a great time to talk to my friend Jay Thompson from CCSA. So interesting to compare notes by way of what our members here in the States face from a regulatory and business perspective, as well as what our Canadian friends do as well. And you know, the truth is, it's a lot of the same, and that is serving your customers and communities each and every day as you connect and communicate. Thanks for joining us here on our ACA Connects podcast from the show floor. Always send us your feedback, subscribe, rate, and review. Love to hear from you. And don't forget, you can find us on Apple Podcasts and Podomatic by searching ACA Connects, or you can find our podcasts on our ACA Connects website at acaconnects.org/thehub. With thanks to our Manager of Digital Communications, Matt Mare, this is Matt Polka with ACA Connects saying we will talk to you soon here in our podcast. See you soon, everybody.